All right, so we have more people joining in over the phone line. Right now we are live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. Thank you for all those who are listening to our show here. Thank you so much for being here. We have more people join in, and I welcome all those. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Good morning, Joel from Chicago.
Good morning, Joel. Welcome morning. To the call. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
This is Wynn again. Can you hear me?
Yes, Wynn, loud and clear.
Now, am I better on this line, or is it about the same?
This is, I think, a little bit better still, but the other one was good, too, so
okay.
Good shape. And we had more people join in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Deb from Cottonwood.
Welcome to the call. And more things, more people joining. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. Good morning.
Was that a descriptive or a derogatory? More things.
Hello, Don.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay. How's your arm?
Good, good, good. Things are well.
Okay,
no
great.
Pain, and it's getting shrinking. Okay, so.
Good, good.
Yep.
Is Carla here?
I am, Lynn.
Good morning, Carla.
Good morning,
everybody.
Good morning,
Carla. Good morning.
Did I hear Teddy, too?
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Teddy.
Hi. Good morning, Terry. And good morning, Carla.
Good morning, hi.
Is Daphne here?
Let's see if you are a moderator.
I think she has to learn to stop putting your fingers in the
yes. Stuff. Oh, yes, you are. Good morning. I welcome to the next caller. If you want, please say your name and location.
Good afternoon. It's Mel from England.
Hey, Mel. How are you doing?
Hi, Mel.
I'm good,
hi,
thanks.
Mel.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mel.
All right.
Hello.
And before you leave, you won't be good. They'll be marvelous.
Marvelous, yes, absolutely.
Right, all right.
What is it, around 6 in the evening there?
It's 6 in the evening, yeah.
All right. The 10:03, well, the ding's off. All right. So the group is here. Carla, Terry, and Wynn are here. I welcome you all, also on BBS Radio, and it's 10:03. I would say ready or not.
Well, you know we're never ready.
I know that.
Is that our? That's the name of our battery, the Never Ready battery.
Right. The good thing about being never ready is you never run out.
I'm going to mute a few lines and then we can just keep the rest open if you want to.
Okay. Terry, let me see if I hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you. You are loud and clear.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Good. I'm on my cell.
Are you on your cell phone with a good... Oh, now we hear a little background buzz.
Yeah, I have to turn the volume way down. Otherwise, you get to hum.
Move around a little bit.
Good morning, exercise.
I think...
Go ahead,
I
Terry.
Think,
move around.
Yeah. Terry?
Yeah.
Now, the buzz stopped. I think the buzz only happens when you're in a certain position and picking up some magnetic fields.
Okay? Hey, you put this one already in there.
Yeah. The buzz happens when I turn the volume up.
It's already there.
Yep.
Is that no, I hear.
Yeah, I just wanted to mute the line.
Yeah.
Is that Michael I hear in the background?
Yes, let me turn the mute off. Hold on.
All right.
Good morning, Michael.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I guess he's not talking to us.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
All right, let's check again. Terry, please speak.
Okay, guys, can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit of buzz, though.
Yeah, a little bit of buzz.
I'm charging my phone, so I'll just put it on mute. Because I don't think you hear it when it's on mute.
But then we can't hear you, girl.
And we do want to hear you, Terry.
All right. Well, now it's really bad. Okay, yeah. We're going to start. Hello to everybody. Listen, I want you guys to know that are listening that we actually have rehearsed this opening. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like part
anytime.
Of the call. This is like part of the call. We looked really long and hard to find a phone that buzzes for Terry, so that every call we could work on getting rid of the buzz. And also, Terry doesn't really forget to charge her phone overnight. She doesn't forget that. It's part of the act.
Maybe you could use the one that Wynn's not using now, because he was using two.
How about the Yuma?
I'll tell you what, if it really gets to be irritating, I'll go walk in my other phone and give it to Terry, okay? Although you never know with Terry, because if she uses the wrong phone,
mm-hmm.
Her brain starts to sizzle.
Oh, golly, Moses, we don't want a boiling brain.
Yeah. So we have gone through numerous headsets to figure out which one keeps her brain from sizzling. And I'm afraid if I put my brain is much harder, what's thicker than hers. So I can wear different headsets and my brain doesn't tend to sizzle. Does your brain sizzle, Carla?
I actually have a very cool brain.
You do?
I have said that it's not on at all.
Well, I think we've all heard that comment. So, in any case, I'm going to start our recording, and...
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. This is July 28th, 2013. This is Sunday morning, and we're all coming as we are. And it's interesting. This morning, I got out of bed. I'm one of those people, when I get out of bed, in the first 5 or 10 minutes, I'm saying, where am I? And I'm disoriented. So this morning, I had a very strong case of being disoriented. And I actually fell. I said, where am I? And I knew it was just because I got out of bed. And I tell these stories so that everyone knows that we're human, because I think so many of us go through the same things. And because we're doing these calls, and because we all have these exalted connections, and they are exalted with other realms, it does in no way take away the fact that we're human. And I think that one of the reasons that we can keep doing these is because we express our humanness. And I was thinking this morning, something I was going to share. Well, first of all, let me make an announcement before I forget, okay? I'm going to change our policy about sending out notices for these calls, because up till now, the way the policy got started is when we had a few hundred people checking into our list and getting a message a day, and I said, I'm going to make a conference call and invite these people to it. And that's how the calls got started, and people kept coming. And what's happened now is that we have a really big list, and I'm still sending out the messages to everyone. And what I found is there's a small percentage of the list. I can tell how many people open a message with my message sending service. And there's a small percentage of the list that is open to the messages, that's opening them all the time. Like, for example, we probably have about 10,000 people getting emails. And on the announcements for the calls, there's probably 300 to 500 that open them. And so what's happening is there's 9,500 people that keep getting an email in their inbox that they never open, and they become immune to our emails. I know that I've done that with other people. When I get a lot of emails from somebody, unless there's a subject line that really is provocative, I don't open it. And so what I'm going to do, what I've decided, is to create a special list for people that want to get the notifications for these calls. And then when I send messages out to the general group, they'll have a different kind of content. Because understanding how it works, understanding that people respond to the subject line, then I'll send out emails that have good subject lines and interesting things. And I may even send out, for example, audios of some of our calls, but I'll describe what the call is so people are intrigued to listen to it. So watch your emails, and if you want to get these messages for the calls, then just subscribe, and that'll be a separate list for announcing calls. And I'm sure some people will miss it all, and then I'll start getting emails saying, I didn't get a notice about this call. Well, I'll just tell them to join the list, the new list, okay? You know, running a list is an interesting thing. If you run it masterfully, because I think most people look at their list and they think, I'm just sending one email out to everybody. But there's so many different kinds of people on the list. And some people, are, even on these calls, I will do one call and people will say, I didn't get anything out of that. And then we'll do another call and somebody will say, I got a huge amount out of that, or the same call, a huge amount. And that's because we're broadband. We put things out so there are really sophisticated people that are paying attention to us. There's really people who, I guess you could call them, they've been metaphysical, they've been spiritual. They're very old souls. And they respond to some of the deepest stuff that we put out. And then there's people that are not as old souls. Now, you know, you're not better or worse for being an old soul or not an old soul. For example, we know that there's lots of angelic beings in this realm who are not old souls, but they come from very high places. So one of the things about being an old soul is that you're more tapped in to the wisdom of this realm. You see things deeply. You've been here. You've probably suffered many, many lifetimes. If you're a good old soul, you'll have compassion for people because you'll see you'll identify with their suffering because at one point in the track, you suffered. So, and if you're not an old soul, it could mean that you're an angelic soul that decided to come down here and help. And oftentimes, those beings tend to be really happier in this realm. They're innocent. And, if you know, their job is to be here and not get screwed up, because usually those innocent souls that come into this realm from higher realms, they don't have the wisdom to stay out of trouble, and they end up getting in trouble, and then 100,000 years later, they're the new old souls. Many of us came in and we were innocent like that, and then we got in trouble. And it's hard not to get in trouble in this realm. It's really hard because, you know, what do you believe? People, you know, there's a consensus reality. You come into this realm, you have your parents. You come in and you're angelic. And before you know it, you're starting to get the wrong ideas, the wrong ways of looking at things. Not that they're wrong, but they're at a lower level. It's a better way of describing it, a lower level. And as you adopt those things, we heard that, Terry. Was that you?
That was an out-breath, Terry. That's all he's saying. and it gives me a chance to say that sometimes it's not that it's at a lower level. I think a lot of times people speak simplistically as if to children. And then when they get caught in it, then they say, well, of course, that's not always true.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it means this. And then they explain and start adding some small print. And it's still not enough. It doesn't really placate you, but it's sort of the beginning of your education.
Right. Well, you know, part of the reason those angelic souls have come into this realm, and some of you may remember that I had spent a Monday call one night. And if you hadn't heard that call, you should go through the archives and look it up on Philip Dick, D-I-C-K. And Philip Dick was a science fiction, trashy science fiction writer in the 70s who was writing science fiction articles for, if some of you are old enough, remember seeing things like Amazing Science Fiction Stories. They used to sell science fiction like they do tabloids at all the supermarkets. And he was writing stories for those tabloids. And it just so happened he lived in Berkeley at the same time I did. And he's one of those people that I wished that I had met, but I didn't. But I certainly wouldn't have appreciated him, even if I did, because apparently he drank, he wasn't that together, and but he was keeping this journal, and his science fiction stories after he died ended up becoming major movies, but he never made the money from it, so he was always financially deprived most of his life. But Blade Runner was one of them, and what's another one? Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's probably about 10 of his stories, and they always were stories that were very deep, that would trigger thinking. You know, they weren't just adventure stories. And when I was first having conversations with this voice that said they were the Elohim, I kept doing searches on Google for the word Elohim, trying to figure out where I could find references. And I found out that Philip Dick was keeping this journal while he was writing his science fiction stories. And apparently, he was communicating with the Elohim. But the only time anyone ever would ever know it is if they read his journal, but he never put his journals out. But after he died, they put his journals out. And there was this one amazing story in his journal where he talked about the Elohim and talked about how these, he called them pluriforms of light from the higher realms, would come into this realm, and they came into this realm to take bodies and to prevent the dark from totally separating from the light. That if these beings did not come into this realm, there was a high likelihood that this realm would separate out and be totally lost from the light. But when they came into this realm, they would invariably forget why they came. And these were these angelic beings, and they would get caught in the negativity of the realm. And they would do it for many, many, many lifetimes. And as I see it, as I look at it, I see that they never lost their connection. They were always looking for their connection. And they couldn't find it. And as they were going through all these dark lives, they were, or oppressed lives, or lives of being enslaved by the negativity in this realm, they were actually learning the tools of how this realm works, so that at some point they would suddenly have this great aha experience, and they would have the map now of how to work in this realm, because they weren't just reading about it. They experienced it. They had gone through it. They understood how it worked. They understood the negativity. And they would come out the other end, and they could be great teachers or great inspirers for people. And it's the enactment of this quote that I from William Blake, the poet William Blake, that where he said, "It's the path of excess that leads to the palace of wisdom." And so, understanding all of that, you can look at all the painful things that are in your track. And right now, many of us are getting a chance to release those things, to have them come up. And when they come up, it can be painful, really painful. I mean, it's like, because you have to experience the trauma. You have to experience it. We talked about that a lot. And, but as you do that, and as you release those things, it starts to make you wiser. It starts to make you more compassionate. You now have the tools to reach out to others that are going through those things and help them. And it takes a while to get it, so don't be impatient, but that's part of the process. And understanding the process might help you with the patience, because I know how it feels. I mean, a good portion of my life, I felt trapped, and I probably still feel trapped sometimes. It's not like it ever goes completely away.
No, I think that's something about incarnational lessons, is that you think you've got it learned. You think you've got it knocked. Okay, I understand. This was my incarnational lesson. Boy, did I suffer. Thank God it's over. That the dark night of the soul is over. The new day has dawned. Oh, I can relax into enjoying the fact that I understand at a new level. And that lasts for seemingly about 15 minutes. and then you remember it's the light that doesn't rotate. It spirals ever upward. And it spirals around again. And you come to that point in your experience where it's time for a new dose of the incarnational lesson at a new level. It's more sophisticated. It's more subtle. It's the same lesson, but it's you have to analyze it to realize, oh my God, it's the same lesson. as Wynn just said, okay, maybe I'm still feeling stuck sometimes, but not by the same thing. Well, but feeling stuck was the incarnational lesson, or maybe it wasn't. But, I mean, I'm just using it for an example. Okay, but why am I feeling stuck now? So, oh, good, here comes a whole new round of the incarnational lesson, probably another dark night of the soul. I can't wait. But you don't really think that. You really don't want another dark night. You really want to stay at that place, but you can't, because the way evolution works is it goes ever onward. So while we're in this realm, and while we are operating under such a heavy illusion, we will from time to time hit those incarnational lessons, be plunged into a difficulty of suffering, and only awaken from it as we have gained the new wisdom. And this process goes onward and onward all of our lives. And it doesn't sound too happy, an event, but actually it is. It just means that we have a varied existence. Sometimes we're living in the daylight. Sometimes we're confused, dazed, disoriented, and trying to figure a new level out. But we're always the same adventurers. We're always off on the same quest. So it's just all part of the same rhythm.
You know, as you're on this path, and you're actually in the middle of your unfoldment, usually when you're coming out of your dark tunnel, so to speak, where you didn't even know you were in a dark tunnel, it just felt like that's the way it is. The first thing that happens is you see the lights, you feel good, you feel joy, you feel connected, you feel loved, whatever, something. And the first thing that will invariably happen is your ego will immediately come in and say, geez, I'm enlightened. And that will be the thing that automatically takes you back into the tunnel, okay? Because there's something about when you start patting yourself on the back. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't pat yourself on the back. There's things you can pat yourself on the back for. But oftentimes, patting yourself on the back is an attempt to free something. Because one teacher had that I thought really influenced me when I was younger, said the most important word in spiritual vocabulary is et cetera, which is next. And it's like I've learned that. That really got ingrained in me. Say, for example, when we do these calls and we have these amazing experiences and all these energies come in and I feel it and you feel it, and when the call's over, it's over. It's next. What is next? Don't be attached to that. Don't be attached to me thinking, boy, I really look good. They all love me, or this or that or the other thing, you know? Because that'll all keep you in a lower rate or a lower degree of frozenness. Now, you know, one of the things I was going to share, I was thinking that I've never shared this on this call. You know, sometimes we play one of my songs, but in the context of this, what we're talking about, and when I go back to the time I was playing music, when I was writing music, I was in that space of being very trapped, very much in a cave, very much like feeling inept, misunderstood, and that there was something in me. And I started putting a pen to the paper and started writing things. And I said, that looks good. And then when I first did it, I was writing lyrics to other people's melodies, and then I would try to write my own melody. Now, I didn't think of it as that I would ever be good at it. I thought of it kind of as a therapy. But I was living in Berkeley, and I would play something to someone, And suddenly I touched them. And I suddenly got the idea that I had deeper vision of things than most other people. And that it was coming out when I was writing lyrics. And it encouraged me because for the first time in my life, I felt there was something in me that had something to offer people. And then I really went into it. And I was, you know, some of you heard the stories of when I was hitchhiking and I had such amazing synchronicities. And I couldn't understand it at the time. I said, this must be God. But I was writing songs, and I wanted to share with you two songs that I wrote in that period, because I had tapped into, I couldn't live it, but I had tapped in to this, the angelic part of me. I don't know if I want to call it angelic, but the enlightened part of me, the aware part of me. And I was writing songs, and I would write them like stream of consciousness, and I would start writing the song, and I wouldn't know how it would end. I didn't have any idea. And by the time it ended, I said, how did I write that? It was too perfect. It was too together. And I realized I was tapping into, now when I start talking to people, I tap into that same thing, because we don't know where it's going to go. These are not prepared talks. And yet, so often, we'll start on a thread, and by the time we're finished, all the threads come together. And I'm letting go and trusting. And Carla says, well, I think maybe you're channeling, Wynn, but I don't know if I would call it channeling, but it's kind of like, as you just be neutral, and as I'm neutral and start talking, I start accessing things. But it's all happening in of itself. I don't have a sense of doing it. And it comes out. And while I'm talking, I know all of you are listening, but I'm not thinking about how I'm looking. I'm just talking. And I know that I'm tapping into that place where we all, our energies come together. And I was doing that in my music. And I remember thinking, God, I could change the world with this music. And I remember I wrote a song called, I never played this song before, and I never could live up to the song. It was so, the only time I could live up to it when I was hitchhiking and staying in people's living rooms, because I felt I was doing it. But it's like when I look back at it, I was actually connecting with group soul consciousness and trying to put it into words of my 30-year-old mind that was wanted to help people and feeling all the pain and suffering in the world. So I thought I'd play that, and it kind of like helps you see my track from back then. Here we go.
I would shine inside you when your morning starts. Yes, you could wear my smile and be happy if I only had two of me. Now this world's been going crazy. You're not the only one. But just what can one man do with a world that's coming undone? Now if I had a million of me, I would pass them all around to everyone who would need a friend. I'd turn those frowns upside down and you could wear my smile inside your heart. I would shine inside you when your morning starts. Yes, you could wear my smile and be happy. But I just have one of me, and I know how to sing a song. So I put my love inside it, and now everyone can sing along. And you can wear my smile inside your heart. I will sing inside you when your morning starts. And if you wear my smile and be happy, then I really would have a million of me.
See that on some intuitive level, I understood group souls, but never on a conscious level. And but I couldn't live up to that song. That's why it was hard for me, because my conscious self had too. All I knew, the only way I knew how to live up to that, was to hitchhike and in being just nobody, like just kind of somebody just showed up, and then I would be discovered and I would be able to share all this great stuff with people. But as soon as I didn't do that, it became like I was trying to make a career in music or this or that. Now, the interesting thing was, the guy that I ended up affiliating with and who was my greatest support in Los Angeles was Brian Holland. And he was the guy that wrote all the music for the Supremes and the Four Tops. And that when I was in high school, I remember listening to this amazing song by the Four Tops. And I was probably driving to school or something. And the first time I heard it, I went out of my body. I had all these energies coming up inside me. And the song was called Reach Out, I'll Be There. And do you remember that song, Carla?
Oh, I think so. Sing a little for me.
Well, I was going to play it, but I didn't get a chance to upload it. But I took the lyrics. And later I realized that a lot of things that sounded like love songs were actually had another dimension to them. because they were really God songs expressed as a love song, okay? And, you know, there's a kind of love that on the human level, it's very hard to attain. And yet, when we are moving into that aspect of loving another person, particularly at the initial stages, oftentimes, usually, when you feel that great sense of romance and surrender, you're seeing the God in them. And it's you're loving the way the divine expresses through them. And that humans usually are not ready to hold that level of love. But if you're a songwriter, you'll capture it and you'll write it down in that moment. And that's why songs are so powerful. So this was the song Reach Out. This is the lyrics. You remember, I'll be there to love and comfort you. I'll be there to cherish and care for you. That was the song. So it's reach out for me. I'll be there to love and comfort you. I'll be there to cherish and care for you. I'll be there to always see you through. Don't we always want somebody like that? I'll be there to love and comfort you. I can tell the way you hang your head. You're not in love now. Now you're afraid. And through the tears. There we go, I get tears when I read it. And through the tears, you look around, but there's no peace of mind to be found. I know what you're thinking. You're alone now, no love of your own. But darling, reach out. Come on, girl, reach out for me. Reach out, just look over your shoulder. I'll be there to give you all the love you need. I'll be there. You can always depend on me. I'll be there to see you through. I'll be there to comfort you. That's the lyrics. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Chris, that's a perfect love. And it's so hard to hold the energy of that kind of love. Because as soon as you're energetically involved with someone, you get caught in the web of your shadow and their shadow. And then that is what comes up. But you know what? If you can hold that space of the idea of that song for the people you care about, if you can remind yourself to look through the shadow side of the person and your own shadow side and see how can you really stay tuned in to who they really are. And this is with everyone in your life. Stay tuned in and not get pulled into the dark side of ourselves. That's the trick in this realm. And then, as you're doing that, you have to make sure that there's gratitude from the other person. Because there's a lot of people that if you make yourself that vulnerable and caring, they will take advantage of you. And they will rob your bank account. They will use you. They will abandon you. And because there's no gratitude. It's in their consciousness to just be a user. And so you can't give that kind of innocence and total vulnerability to someone who is a user, or you'll end up very hurt sooner or later.
Yeah, I was saying to Jim the other day, my husband, that the deepest verb in our language is probably trust. Because people can say, I love you. They can say, I'll be there for you. They can say all these promises. But if you can trust somebody, then nothing has to be said.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right there. And somehow you know the people, or you think that you know the people you can trust. And in a way, becoming older and wiser is a process of becoming able to penetrate the levels of distrust, the levels where people are going to play you and create of you a victim. So that you're left at the end saying, I should have not trusted him. I did, and I'm so sorry. I'll never trust anybody again. And I think that's the motto of so many of us when we've been hurt, is I will never let myself get deep enough with anybody to be hurt like this again. I can't do it. I mean, even when your dog dies, you know, because animals live so much more quickly than us, and, you know, a dog 15 years is quickly gone, and you're barely, you know, you've gone from 12 to 27 in that time, but you've got a lot of years left. The dog doesn't. And you lose that dog, and you think, I can't do this again. I will never have another dog. But then you get brought in, you know, into having another dog because you see a puppy and they're so cute. And so you start falling in love all over again with a new dog. And you've got a new dog, and you've got wonderful years of companionship ahead. But there's always that ending that the dog can't help because he lives quicker than you do. So I think trust is so deep, such a deep word. And in a way, it's deeper than the word love because we've used love to mean everything. You know, I love hot dogs. I love Frank Sinatra. You know, I love Mariah Carey, whoever we love. And and you say the same thing for, I love Jesus Christ. I love Buddha. I love the Creator. You know, you don't have a word. I remember Woody Allen, and I don't remember which movie it was. It was a long time ago, maybe 50 years ago. He said, no, maybe it was Annie Hall. Still 50 years ago, but I remember the movie. And he said, I love you. I don't just love you. I love you because you can love anybody, but I love you. And he was trying to create a word that meant love only more so. And what do? You know, you run out of words. But trust, that nothing quite means trust. I trust.
You know, I had a somebody that influenced me used to say, he had a great model, which to run people by and decide if he trusted them, okay? And I'll share this with you because you, all of you can try running this by the people in your life and see if they meet the test. It was a really interesting test. And he said, you know, when I'm thinking of really letting someone in to be a friend, I ask myself, is that the person I would like to be next to in a foxhole in a war? And if they're not, then...
If they don't have your back then, and they never will.
That's right. That's right. If they're just thinking of themselves and they're not thinking of you. So think of those people in your life and see if you'd like to have them next to you in that situation. Chris, we don't want to emphasize war and all of that stuff, but just the idea that would somebody let you fall? You know, a lot of times, you know, friends come when you're looking good, when you're doing well, when you're making money, when you're feeling in love, and it's easy to have lots of people that want to associate with you. But as I have learned, and some of you have learned, that when all of that goes away and you're feeling desperate, needy, abandoned, hurt, most of those people are no longer there for you. In fact, many of us don't even want to call them up and let them know how difficult the time is for us because we don't want to risk them shutting us down. We want to live in the memory of how good it was when you were looking good and they were looking good. But I think in the future, you know, particularly in this world that's breaking down, we're going to find ourselves in situations where we really need real friends, those friends that stand by us. And that means also you stand by them. And this is a very delicate situation because there's this element of worthiness. In other words, you have to be worthy of a real friend, and they have to be worthy of a real friend. Or you have to evolve your relationship so you become worthy. And because otherwise, you can be a fool and be somebody's friend. Like, you can be there for someone else, and they would never be there for you. You know, in this area of trust, one of the things I realized that trust is something that's developed and earned over time. It's not something, for me, it's not something to extend to somebody immediately. And realizing that when you're in the developing of a relationship with somebody, if you're giving something, then you're taking a calculated risk, which is okay. The thing is don't risk more than you can afford to lose. And if you lose it, you say, well, that was just part of growing, of testing, of seeing if this would work. But if you give more than you can afford to lose, your life can fall apart. And that, let the relationship evolve where you know that other person is going, that you can count on them, that they mean what they say. They're not, one of the things that Carla has said, that Wynn is a really good salesman, which I am. And the thing about a salesman, the negative part, can be a salesman can make something be really good. They can do something and take your money, and then they're gone. You never hear from them again. There's no feeling about it. And I don't think I'm like that because I'm still here. But I have the ability, you know, to make people, you know, to present things in such a manner that they're attractive, and that puts me in a good position to do this job, because of course we're dealing with things that are very sacred and also very catalytic and very hard to get through people's logical brains, and that I have to find the words all the time, particularly with strangers or on radio shows, to translate this in such a manner that people are at least curious. What I've learned is there's nothing I can say in my mind that's going to totally change somebody's life. But if I can make somebody curious and to reach back, then there's enough materials in our work, in Carla's work, that you can change your life, because now you're accessing all this information that's out of this realm. It's from another dimension. And it's higher than your normal consciousness. And as you keep accessing it, you learn to go higher than your normal consciousness. And I say that only because of so many people that I've watched that work for. If you're listening to this call now and you're feeling really stuck, then you might give it a try listening to our, you know, we have our archive section. And I know there's people doing this. They've downloaded the audios. They play them in their car. They play them at work. And it's like a constant inundation of first higher frequencies, and then a lot of understanding about what you're going through that you can integrate, that can let you know that someone out there is aware and care, and you're not isolated in your experience of what you're going through. Because I think that's the worst I remember when I was younger and I was going through intense things, everyone else seemed together, and I seemed untogether. And, I mean, and it seemed like, why can't I be like everyone else? They're all so happy. They're married. They have children. They got jobs. Here I am, you know, I don't know how to make who I am work. And it's like I wished I had found me then, you know, because I would have sped up my process. I would have understood myself better. And, I mean, I hope that for those of you that this is making sense for, it might contribute that to yourself. And, you know what, I'm going to do, you know, a lot of times we keep talking, and I'm going to go into the second hour of this and do a our healing session and do it really long and really get those energies to come in. And it's so amazing that we're doing this, because it goes back to my song where I said, if I had a million of me, but I didn't know it at the time, but I do have a million of me, and you have a million of you. We have these invisible guys in other realms that have just been waiting for eons for people to ask for them so that they have the permission to come in and work with us. And that is the most powerful thing we're offering. And if you keep hanging in, sooner or later, you'll probably get it. Carla, before we move on, do you want to say anything?
No, I think you're on a roll. Let's go to the healing.
Yeah, before we do that, just before, you know, Terry always listens, and, you know, she usually is not bold enough to interrupt like you are, but but oftentimes in her quiet way she has extraordinary observations about things. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Is there any?
Let me get rid of the buzz. I feel like even myself, I've been getting Wednesday call, somebody asked a question about energy. Well, the answer was energy. They were in a situation and things weren't going well, and it kept recycling over and over the same and not coming out of it. And they came through and they indicated that the person needed to get the energy of something else to be moved into their space. And when they could grasp a different energy, that this would help them and to move out of the old energy and the old things that were going on. And I thought, I think Wynn's been trying to get that across to me, but I really got it when they came through. And they said that, how important it is to be in the energy of what it is that you would like to achieve.
I think one of the hardest challenges is that all of us have immersed ourselves in our lives as they are now. And we're in this mirroring effect where everything is reflecting back to us, and we're caught in the web of the reflections. This is a really important concept. You're placed in this physical universe. You have a little body on Earth. You have your friends, your family, and every one of those people is reflecting you. And that creates an energetic lock that keeps you in that matrix of a lower aspect of yourself. And if you're one of those people that have a higher aspect, then it's, you don't have to It's not like you have to jettison yourself out. That's what I did when I was hitchhiking. I jettisoned myself out, and that's how I started to discover everything, because nothing was reflecting me at that point. I was just alone on the road, and it was just me in the world. And that was me, and I had, you know, a track. I was a troubadour in another life. I don't recommend that you do that, okay? But hopefully, one of the things we're doing on these calls is creating that anchor point of a higher dimensional connection, and that as you assimilate that, it starts to inspire the part of you that's above your own matrix, the world that's all reflected back to you. And then as you hold it, then instead of just reflecting everybody back, you hold your center point, and it becomes a more pure, innocent energy, and the people in your space, some of them, will respond to it. And it doesn't mean you have to explain anything to them. This all happens on a psychic level. They respond to it, and they start shifting. And the others that don't shift, that don't respond to it, you can still engage with them without losing the connection of your highest aspect of yourself. And they don't pull you into it. At the lower levels of dealing with this, they pull you into it, then you resist, and then when you resist, it creates conflict. So the resisting of it doesn't work, and the immersion in it doesn't work either. That it just means that you have work to do on yourself, and you know, we are one source of that. These calls we do and our materials and our archives in helping presenting to you a whole nother view of reality, and not only an intellectual view, but the energy of that reality. And one thing that's wonderful about working with Carla and Terry, that in spite of the fact that all of us have our lower natures, we are coming together on these calls, on our Sunday call, and we reflect the very highest back to each other. And then we learn to do that all the time, so that no matter when we're going through lower aspects, I can call Carla, and she's my friend, or she could call me, and I'm her friend, or I'm Terry's friend. And we have that friendship that, you know, it feels to me fits the criteria that I'd have any of those people in my foxhole with me, because I know my back would be watched. And hopefully they know their back would be watched. And that creates a beautiful relationship. But it's taken a long time in my life to have those kinds of people that I associate with. And you can use that as a model, as a kind of criteria. And it doesn't mean you have to reject everybody. It just means that put it in the right place on the cabinet, and don't think of it as more than it is. Let it be as it is, because everything evolves. I mean, you know, I would say Carla and I have known each other for 6 years now, and we didn't step into that relationship when we first met. There was the potential there. We didn't step into it, and it took quite some time to evolve to where it's at now, where we can be so comfortable with each other, even in front of all of you publicly, and allow that aspect to be there, because then it shows a reference point of how things could be for everybody, that it is possible to have really good friends. It is possible to trust. It is possible to connect with the higher dimensions and make that a everyday aspect of your life, where you know you're not alone. Even if there's no humans to connect with, you can keep connecting to the energies of these group souls who don't have anything. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just mocking it up, that probably it's their greatest pleasure and joy to have people reaching for them, because they understand in depth the kinds of things we're going through. And they have the ability to connect with you. And they are an aspect of you. It's the law of one in action. And that when you make that connection, you don't have to worry about looking for love in all the wrong places, which I certainly have done, which many of us have done. Many of us have gotten really hurt. We had our innocence, and we got into a relationship, and we got married, or we fell in love. And then we found out that the person wasn't who we thought they were. And usually, people aren't who we think they are. And so this wonderful thing of having energy friends in other dimensions doesn't mean you can't have a love relationship in here, but you'll be able to have the wisdom to see it for what it is, let it evolve. And seeing if you hold the space of truly unconditional love for that person, if they respond to it, or if they just think you're an idiot and they take advantage of you, okay? Because you can unconditionally love somebody, but it doesn't mean you have to be personally involved with them. When you're personally involved with someone, it's rather important to have some kind of energetic, reciprocal connection at a high level. And if you don't, it doesn't mean you should leave them. It just means that if you're one of those beings who have come into this realm with that potential, then you need to find something that responds to that in you. Or you need to find and reinforce this connection with the higher dimensions, because they will always be there for you. And that does not mean you're not supposed to have a human experience, because you are. And when you're having a human experience, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to take risks. You know, when you're taking risks, then make them calculated risks, so you don't risk more than you can afford to lose, and see if you can develop some people in your life that you would like to have in the foxhole with you, that will watch your back, and you will watch their back. Now, on that note, we are going to go into our little healing session. You notice the energies are already coming in. And so many of you, you are responsible for what we're doing here. Your ability to respond, to feel the energies, have made it so we can be inspired, that we want to keep showing up. And you're part of this creation. This is like bringing new energies into this realm that weren't here before, and that you're part of that, and you're helping to anchor that
And many of you are on your way to mastership and to be learning how to hold these energies in your own space, in your own domain, in your own dominion, in your own city. So, the human consciousness is flexible. The human consciousness changes all the time. It changes by your thoughts. It changes by your environment. It changes by your projects, the things that you do. And it changes by your intent. And in the highest truth, there's no limit to your ability to expand. That we can be each other. We can be the earth. We can be the Elohim. We can be the Ra. Not on an ego level, but to be able to hold that expansion in our own human consciousness. And in so doing, we become a divine expression in this realm. And that is so important in this period of time. Because one of the things that's happening is things are breaking down. And the things that people were holding on to are falling apart. And when people are losing their handholds on the things that were making them secure, that were making them happy, they become more open. And that's when you have the ability to hold the space to help another person because they're reaching. And when people have it all together, when they have lots of money, they have power, they don't usually reach. In fact, they just keep operating within their own little system to increase all of that. So we see the Earth, and we all live on planet Earth, and that we've learned that everything in the universe is alive. Everything has a consciousness. And the Earth has a big consciousness. And that there's an energy around the Earth, and we, as part of our existence, live in the energy of Earth. But we take it for granted because it's always there. So it becomes like a background program, and like living in a very picturesque city. If you live there, oftentimes, usually, you won't have the same reaction to it as a tourist does. So right now, we want to feel the Earth. We want to feel that connection. And I tell people, put their feet flat on the ground so your soles are parallel to the floor and the ground. And we can see the Earth. We could imagine that the Earth hears us talking about her. And just because we're talking about her, she gets called to action. And we're going to ask the Earth to send the energy, her energy, through our floor and into our feet. And move that energy of the Earth through our feet, through our legs, through our calves, through our genitals, through our solar plexus, through our chest, through our neck, and into our head. And we can feel the Earth's energy. And we're communing with the Earth. And we can send our love and gratitude to the Earth for all that she has endured in connection withholding the space for mankind, who usually, often, has abused her. The reason the Earth gets abused is because people don't know the Earth is alive. And whether it is setting off nuclear weapons, whether it is drilling for oil, or just having hateful energy, the Earth feels all that and keeps holding space. So we thank the Earth for her patience. We ask the Earth to be sensitive to those who are having gratitude and for protection for those people, particularly for disasters or things that are balancing that come through the Earth. We know that there has to be a certain amount of balancing in this time. Energy release, which comes as earthquakes and other things. And we ask the Earth to mediate on that so that they can happen in a way that don't destroy lots of people, away from population centers, and in small doses rather than large, to release whatever energies. And we're now at the have the Earth like a finger of energy moving through our body up to our head. And now we're going to move through our head, through our crown chakra, and we're going to move higher than our body. Start out like a foot above your head. And all you have to do is imagine your energy a foot above your head, and there it is. We're not leaving our body. We're extending our energy. We have an energy that's occupying our body. That's who we really are. And this energy will follow our intentions. So we're putting the energy above our head. And now we're going to move it up to the ceiling. And now we're going to move it through the ceiling, through the units above you, if you're not on the top floor, and through the roof and into the sky. You can imagine what your roof looks like. You can imagine looking down, and there's your house. And your body's inside it, but your energy is through the roof. And then you keep moving higher. You're 100 feet above your roof. You're 200 feet above your roof. You're into the clouds. You can imagine looking down and seeing your neighborhood below you. And, you know, some people actually master the art of seeing while they move their body. And they call that remote viewing. We're moving higher. We look down and we just see the circumference of the earth. We go through what's called the veil. When we go through the veil, which is like an energy blockade around our planet, we start to have the ability to move through time as well as space. Remember, the physical universe is a construct of time and space. And many spiritual groups talk about something called the eternal now, which means that there is no past. Everything was in the now. The past was in the now. There's a record of the past in the energy fields. But we are in the now. And we are learning to stay in the now. Because everything expands from the now. And things change and shift because people are in the now. And in the now, everything in the past is present. It's present in this constructed matrix, which we call the universe. And there's one energy that the universe is composed of. We are all the same energy. The Earth is the same energy. And as we move up the timelines in the matrix, we come to a place where we who are on this line converge and we touch each other's energies. And we can, right now, just say, I love you to each other. Because it's all of you who are making this possible. I'm not doing it. I'm with you, and I'm just putting words to it. We can feel this love. And we can invite now those sources that are positive and service to others that are honoring the law of one to join with us. And we create a huge group energy of the few hundred of us on this line and the multi-millions of them, however many they would assign to this project. And as we do this, many of you are feeling your innocence. You're feeling your connection. And you feel that space in you that is peaceful. Silent. Above all the dilemmas of your life, above all those things in your life that are reflecting back to you from lower levels, you're above them. And this is a reference point. Reality, the lower levels of reality start out up here and then they precipitate down. And we're going to move back up here shortly and work on precipitating and shifting and seeing where shifts could happen. Well, let's right now take this energy that we've created, this huge pool of energy, and bring it back down through all the levels. Back through the veil. Back through the sky. Back through our roof. And back into the top of our head. Keeping in mind that when we left on this journey, it was just our own unique energy that was moving up. And now we are connected to a huge energy of millions of souls. All theoretically, we can't see this, but let's just take the hypothesis, are all working together, all creating congruence, and bringing this energy back down. Feel it as it enters the top of your head. And what we want to do is move this energy through our bodies, and keeping in mind that all of us have corrupted energy to some extent or another. And that means we have points in our energy field that have been stuck for many lifetimes. Places where the energy has gone. Like, for example, you had trauma. And the trauma created a blocked energy somewhere in your body. And it continues on and on. So we're bringing this pure energy in. And we want to work on our levels of blockage. And see how much we can release and free. So we come in through our heads. And I should say, those blockages create what we call disease in our body. It's where we can't heal ourselves. So we bring that energy through our head and through our eyes and into our brain and around our teeth. And any place you feel blockage, just release it. Just release it. It's kind of like this energy is like a huge river, and it will pick up and carry things downstream. Just let it go into this energy. Let it disperse down through our neck. If you have some physical problems, focus the energy on that physical problem. Down into our chest, and of course the chest is where your heart is, and the heart is one of those places that not only is it a producer of the greatest joy, it also holds the energy of all the hurts we've had for all our lifetimes. So let's move into our heart and let this energy cleanse our heart. Cleanse the energy of our heart. And release the energies of those miasms that your heart is holding. And in your conscious mind, you can think of the people in your life, this lifetime, who have created distortions in the energy of your heart. The lover that abandoned you for another person. Do you still have a grudge inside yourself? Do you still hate them for doing that? Let's put this energy around all of that and forgive them and let it go. Release it. Do you have someone that stole money from you? Think of them, forgive them, and let it go. Do you have somebody that talked about you behind your back and really hurt you and caused other people to judge you? Forgive them and let it go. These are all the things that hold your heart captive in this realm. You want to graduate this realm. You have to get your heart from being captive. And you have to forgive all those people who helped capture it. Doesn't mean you approve of their actions. It doesn't mean that you want to be friends with them. It means you don't want to hold any energy in your body that's negative around anything that was done to you. And also, anything you've done, chances are you have not been perfect. The chances are you've talked about someone behind their back. The chances are you have abandoned someone. And forgive yourself for doing that. You know, when you did it, you probably didn't understand karma. You didn't understand that they were part of you, and that by creating pain for them, on some level, it was required for you to create pain for yourself. Right now, let it go. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for all the things you've done all your lifetimes that you don't remember. Make a pact. Make a covenant that if spirit will help you keep these things released, you will use the newfound energy to be of service in this realm. And let's just see the health
our heart healthy. Let's see this energy releasing and molecularly transmuting anything which is keeping our heart in an unhealthy space. And we move to our solar plexus, our stomach area. And we know the solar plexus is the seat of personal power. You know, there's an energy that radiates from your solar plexus. And that energy in the space around you creates the boundaries so that people can't move into your energy field and grab it. You know, if you ever noticed someone who is a good leader, someone who manages a company or has any kind of leader, if they are a good leader, you feel the energy of their power, their solar plexus. It doesn't, you know, opening your heart doesn't mean you discard power. The two work together and have leadership. You need to have your second chakra activated. It creates respect from other people. If you're operating just from your heart chakra, oftentimes you're too vulnerable. You take on too many energies, and particularly if you're trying to lead from that place, you need a certain energy from your second chakra, because that helps organize everything around you. It keeps people from sabotaging you, and they will, or they'll try. We move into our second chakra, which is our genitals, and realize that it's okay to be human, that sexuality is part of our animal nature, and that the real challenge is to deal with one's sexuality responsibly, because it's an area that can create so much joy and so much hurt. It's an area where we connect our energies totally with another human. Who are you connecting with? Once you connect your energies in that way, you are in the karmic soup of that other person. So pick people that don't have a lot of karma. Pick people that are on a higher path. Pick people that really you have gratitude for in their life. Because once you open this up, it's not that easy to close it down. And if you're going to be involved with somebody, but it's not going to be a lifelong relationship, then make sure you leave them better than you found them. And then you won't get karma. Because if you move into something with someone, and then you leave them, and they are hurting, then you become responsible for their hurt. And that keeps you bound
in this realm. Then we go to our base of our spine, which is called our root chakra. It has to do with survival. And, you know, if all your chakras are working and activated together, it works with the survival thing because it attracts things to you, that attracts people to you, attracts money to you, attracts jobs to you. Let's just see that our root chakra is feeling energy and energized. And so we have, each of us, things that we would like to see shift and change in our life. And remember, when you ask for something, you have to do the physical things necessary to bring it about. For example, if you're looking for a job, you have to apply for jobs, okay? You can't just ask. You have to go out and pound the pavement, lift up the phone. And that is part of what stimulates synchronicity. Let's take a moment and put in our conscious thinking those things we'd like to shift in our life. Always for the highest good of all concerned. And know that our sources are hearing you. They're feeling you. And they can help. Of course, they are you. It's you helping you. It's the higher aspect of you helping the lower aspect. And you can put someone you care about into this field. And ask for them to be helped. Then we have some people here. Kathleen asks for all areas of her life that need healing for her highest good and to be of service to others and receive an abundant income and to be guided to meet people and work with people for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you. I am grateful. Kathleen must have known what I was talking about today, huh? And then we have Mel in England. And love and light to Roger Walters for his steady progress and return to health. Following his being home sent to die a few weeks ago, he was diagnosed with colon and liver cancer 18 months ago. And has undergone two series of chemotherapy. He is now undergoing a nutritional medicine regime along with a spiritual mind approach. Send light to Roger. And then we have Kathleen again, sending the light to her cats, Dennis, Bert, Merlin, and Phantom. Then we have Jamie in Tennessee. Emotional torment, physical health, and reconciliation with her children. Let's take a moment and just focus that energy towards Jamie. And then we have Lori in Arizona. Money, good health. Protect our amendments, Bill of Rights, and our Constitution. Please have the government for the people, by the people.
11:45.
Thank you. And I think we better stop going through that. Even though we gave ourselves a full hour, I think we need a little more time to go through all of this stuff. Let's get a message from Terry. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, Carla, and every person on this line, listening on the internet, listening anywhere on our planet right now. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And turn it over to our sources through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. This is July 28, 2013. And we take a moment, and it is with profound gratitude in our energy hearts that we appreciate the opportunity to be available to each and every one of you that wishes connection. It is profound for us and sacred that we can have the opportunity to connect and to be available to you. We feel your reaching. We feel your need. We feel your desire to connect, to be a part of all that is, to know that you are important. You are a treasure. You are a part of all that is, and it cannot be without you ever. You are always a part. You are a part of us. And we feel that when we offer the opportunity, we let you know we are there and you respond. It is like a child coming home, and it brings tears to our energy eyes that we are welcoming you, and you are feeling it, and you are knowing that you are more than your body. You are more than your life in the earth plane. You have a future, and you may at this time have your contract with your body and your life. And you are more than that. And we are available to you. And we look at the things on the healing list. We see the disconnect and between the health tissue. We see the disconnect between certain things within the family. And we send grace with gold energy flex to get the energy moving from your side, you who have asked, to heal the wounds, to make you whole. And although we are speaking for only a short time, we are there. When we leave, we do not leave. We are still there. Thank you for this opportunity, this profound opportunity. We love you.
Thank you. And let's just move right now to that space where we are combining our energies in the very highest dimensions to create healing for our planet. We know that our planet has got a fight of intentions going on for it, that there are competing intentions, and that our intentions as a group, calling in the support of our sources, make a difference. And that we ask right now for the very highest of connections as we take this group energy and we move it through the dimensions so it surrounds our planet. We see our planet surrounded in this energy. And just like we were doing acupressure, acupuncture on the energy fields of our body earlier, we do this for our planet. And we realize there's an energy field around our planet and that everyone on the planet is creating that energy field and putting whatever their energies are in that group energy of the field of the planet. And we surround and embrace that energy. We see our light surrounding and embracing our planet and looking for those points where the energy can be amplified, where those positive intentions for the highest good of all concerned can be amplified and touched. And that all those people on this planet who are wanderers, who are starseeds, who have come here from higher dimensions, can touch this energy. And feel the empowerment of it. Around our planet, and we look for all those places of earthquake potentials, and we send this energy down into the planet through the earth, through the ground, and we ask for balancing of these energies so any earthquakes can be moderate. And a little small releasings of energy instead of devastations, and away from population centers. We see the energy between the earth and the sun, and we send love to the earth-sun connection. We send the energy to all those people that are praying, that however they call on God, that they can make a connection and that their prayers can be heard. We ask for interventions in all those areas where there are destructive elements being artificially created to disable humans, to the chemtrails, the molecular repairing of everything that can be dangerous to a human,
We ask no nuclear weapons go off. We ask that all those in power can open up to their hearts and compassion. Send a light to all those brave people who have risked their lives and their careers and their futures by standing up. And talking about things. We ask for the awareness of the general population, the vision to get through to see what's actually at play on this planet, and to see beyond all the consensus realities that are holding them in contraction and in position. And in naivety, we see so many people have good hearts but don't know what to trust. And we ask for the discernment of people and that the truth come through however it needs to come through so people can wake up. And on that note, we're going to count down and come back. If you want to stay in this space and meditate and hold it, that's a good idea. But if you have things to do and you want to get back into being focused in your body, we'll just do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.